Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Good morning, everyone. It's already been quite a lot going on this morning, isn't it? And I do sense the Holy Spirit is already at work and speaking to us and preparing our hearts. And isn't God great? Isn't God faithful and good, as we sang in the songs? And one of the things that I always love is, you know, when, I can't remember which song it was, but when it says that he will never let us down. And I think that's why we're all here today, isn't it? Because God never let us down, and he will never do that, because his faithfulness lasts forever. And this morning, yes, as Pastor Victor said, we're going to talk about kingdom identity. And I think that's really something that is very close to my heart, because I think growing up in a family where I grew up in Switzerland, and in my family, it was really important that we did well in education. That's just something that was drummed into us children. I've got two other siblings. And one of the things that we sadly experienced is that when we did well, then everything was good. But when we didn't do well, then that was challenged. And I know that one day we were even told, you know, you're no longer my child because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And, you know, you think maybe, okay, that might be just a throwaway comment. However, you know, it stayed on our mind for years, to be honest. That means what we felt was really important is to thrive in the academics and do really well academically, because we felt that's where we have our identity from our families. You know, that's when we are accepted, that's when we are loved. And it's actually a long time that I was battling with that, and with rejection as well. I always felt, you know, nobody accepted me the way I was. Nobody liked me the way I was. And I think it took God a time away from home. It was actually when I was in my 20s. I had already finished my studies, and I really felt God wanted me to go away, and obviously because I was exploring other things in my life that I wanted to do. So I was in South Africa with Youth with a Mission, and one of the weeks of teaching was about the Father Heart of God. And I still remember that, you know, it's just being in God's presence and actually experiencing that love that he has for me. And it really spoke to me, obviously, because I felt that he accepted me, he loved me the way I was. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to beat anyone. He just loved me. And I think it was a whole week of that teaching, and I was just in God's presence, obviously in tears, as I'm almost now. But, you know, just crying, because this is something that was lacking in me and was missing in me. And the thing is, once you know how much God loves you and who he has created you to be, it sets you free and it releases you to do what God wants you to do. And, you know, on my journey with God, there were other things that have changed. I was thinking about, you know, when you introduce yourself to other people, there's certain things that you say. I was married. I met my husband in South Africa, actually, which was a blessing. But I'm widowed now. And one of the things that has been really difficult is for me to suddenly say that I'm no longer married, because that has become a really important part of who I was, that I was this person's husband, a wife, sorry. And one of the things God spoke to me again was my husband wasn't dead for not even a year when we went to Kingdom Faith Camp. And God really clearly spoke to me in that camp. He said, you have been faithful to your husband. My husband was ill during all this time and the illness, but now you have to let go of him. And you have to let go of your part who wants to be a wife to him, because he is no longer with me. He's obviously with Jesus. He was a believer, so I know that he's there. And that was very painful, because that was a big part of who I was. I'm also a mother, and my children are all well. But you might have been in a position where something that you strongly identified with has been taken away. Sometimes maybe never happened. And it's about, so how do I know who I am when those things happen to me? I've met somebody on the crosswalk who was a lady, a believer. I think she was in her 60s or so. And she just spoke to me and said, you know, she really struggles. Up till a year before, she was quite fit and healthy. And she really struggled because she felt now she's got lots of physical health challenges. She was wondering, what's going on with me? I can't do what I used to do. And she felt that nobody prepared her to that. You know, and she was questioning herself. And even on the crosswalk, it's almost like she felt guilty about not being able to walk. We walk for miles. Those of you who've been on a crosswalk, we walk for miles in London. But she then felt almost guilty to just realize, I can't do that anymore physically. And I was really saddened, because I was like, Lord, you're not loving her more or less whether she can do the crosswalk or whether not, you know. And I think this is all linked to our identity, isn't it? It's about who we are. And what I wanted us to really focus on is who Jesus says we are. Now, in the world, when you ask about who you are, most people give you a definition of who they are according to what they think, you know, who they are, or what other people think, isn't it? Other people see them. And as I said in the examples before, these are very changeable things. You know, some of us might identify ourselves with our jobs. How guaranteed are we that we still have a job tomorrow, isn't it? Or some of us, as this lady who talked to me, is about our health, our physical strength. But again, these things can change, isn't it? And for us as children of God, God wants us to put our identity on him. Because it says a biblical definition of identity is who a person is according to God. Now, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. And it says that his word remains, isn't it? So the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. So what God says about me, about you, is not going to change. It's not going to change whether we have a good day, whether we are in a difficult season. It doesn't change. And I know this is something that some of us, and I as well, will be challenged. So I would like us to read a few scriptures. So the first one is in John chapter 1, where it says, yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right or the privilege or the authority to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And I think what is really important here is this is how we become a child of God. The only thing we need to do is to believe in the name of Jesus. There's nothing else we need to do, because Jesus has already done everything else that is part of that process, isn't it? He has already died at the cross for our lives, for our sins. He has forgiven us anything that we did wrong, that we didn't do right in the eyes of God. And he has now offered us to become his child. His child, become part of this family that he's got for us. The second scripture in 2 Corinthians says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ or to Jesus has become a new person. So when we accept Jesus into our lives, it's not that you are the same person anymore. Some of us, we feel the same, isn't it? Some of us have really special moments with God and they feel very different, but some of us might still feel the same. However, it's not about how we feel. It's about the truth, isn't it? So we are different people. We have a new identity. We are a new person in Jesus. And this is what we symbolize in a baptism. So some of you read about the baptism, the beach baptism. What we do when we have full immersion, isn't it, is we go under the water. So it symbolizes our old person, what we did before, what we were focused on before, who we were before in our behaviors, in our the way we relate to people. All these things stays at the bottom of the sea. And then we come up as a new person, the new person that God has called us to be, the new person that God has created us to be. And this is what happens in baptism. This is something that is only based on what Jesus has done. It's not based on how many days we are in church, how many hours we pray, how many times we do charity work, or anything like that. You know, this is not something that we can earn. This is not something we deserve. This is something that God chose to do for us because he loves us. But it really also is important for us to remember we cannot add to it. This is a status. This is a position that we have in Jesus and that no one can take away from us. And I really want us to remember that because I know we were praying, Pastor Victor led us into prayer, about situations that are happening in our lives. And sometimes I know when we look at our situations, at our lives, we almost feel that we're disqualified to be a child of God now, that we are no longer worthy to be a child of God. But this is not what the Bible says. This is not what the Bible says. That's maybe what we feel. Now, some of us might remember when Jesus was baptized. Remember, he hasn't been known as the Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the miracle worker. He was known to his family, probably people in the same village in Nazareth, but he wasn't really known otherwise, isn't it? And he was baptized. And then some of us maybe know the story that when he came out of the water, there was a voice from heaven, God speaking to him, and he said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love." So Jesus did not have to show his Father in heaven anything else than just being baptized and then come out of the water. And this is what God speaks over us. You know, these are my children, and you are all dearly loved by the Heavenly Father. There's nothing that you need to do in order to be acknowledged or loved by God. And I thought that is really quite special, really, isn't it? Because in a lot of relationships that we are in, or maybe in the past, we feel that we need to perform. We feel that we need to do something to be loved, to be accepted, isn't it? We feel that we have to change things maybe or adjust things. But God says, no, this is who I love because you are my child. There's another scripture that I wanted us to look at. It's Ephesians 1. And it says, so first verses 4 and 5. It says that even before God made the world, so many, many, many years ago, he loved us and he chose us. Now, I know choosing, for some of us, when you think back of your school days maybe, and you think about PE and you have to choose teams, or better, you're being picked for teams, yeah? Not all of us are being the first pick, yeah? But God says he chose us, he picked us, he handpicked us, as it says in some of the fruit things, isn't it? So he's chosen us particularly because he knows us and he loves us. And he said that he adopted us. He adopted us into his family. And he did that because he chose to do that. He wanted to do that. He wants each and every one of us to be part of his family. You know, that's what he decided. And some of us, we might look at us and say, what have I got to bring? You know, why is God choosing me? But the thing is, God sees our hearts. And he knows how he can use us for his glory. He loves us so much. One of the scripture in Colossians says that we are now, that we know Jesus, that we have Jesus in our lives, we are now complete. So there's nothing else that we need in addition in our lives. It's always good to know all these things, isn't it? But there's obviously challenges. One of the things that Jesus always encouraged his disciples and those who were going to him is to have faith in him, isn't it? To believe him, to have faith in him. And you might be sitting here and think, yeah, I've heard all of these things. Sounds good. But what next now? And one of the scriptures says, isn't it, that we need to renew our minds every day, isn't it? And because when we decide to live with Jesus, although some of the habits might have gone straight away, sometimes people experience that, we still need to work on our minds, isn't it? On how the way we thought before, that it's not the same anymore now that we know Jesus. And so the renewal of the mind comes by listening, by hearing the word, and that's also how our faith and trust in Jesus increases. This is not often done within 2 weeks or so. It takes a lifetime, isn't it? But, you know, this is really important because we live in a place, in a culture, where identity is being challenged every day. Every day. Every day, if you think about the social media, this is how you look, need to look like. This is the type of holidays you should be able to afford. This is what you should be doing with your life. Is it the music that we listen to? It's not just for the young people. It affects us as well, isn't it? So the enemy knows one way to attack us is the identity. Now, after Jesus got baptized, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Some of you remember that story. And the devil was tempting him, was challenging him. And the first two temptations were both about his identity. If you are the Son of God, do this or that. If you are the Son of God. Now, Jesus has just heard from his Father in heaven speaking to him after when he came out of the water, that he is the Son, isn't it? That is dearly loved by his Father. And now the enemy comes. Are you sure you're the Son of God? It really spoke to me. Because I think that's what the enemy does to us. The enemy questions us. Are you really a child of God? Have you really given your life to Jesus? What does your life look like? All the mess in our lives. Does that look like you are a child of God? And sometimes the enemy is successful in doing that, isn't it? Because then we start doubting. We start wondering, oh, is that really? Am I really used by God? Has God really called me to do this or that? Has God really put me in that position? We doubt ourselves. And that's something that the enemy uses to wobble us. And some of us fall. Some of us fall, isn't it? That's why it's really important that we have our minds renewed and that we know what God says about us every day. Now, before we carry on with this, with Kingdom Faith, with the children, we did this ABC chart a few years back. Some of you might remember that. I put them out again. Because it's not just about us knowing the truth about who we are. It's also about our children knowing who they are in Jesus. And I did say, obviously, it looks like it's for children. But actually, it's also good for us to be reminded of who we are. So there are a few copies at the back of the table. Because it's really important that we nurture an environment where the kingdom identity is being encouraged. Even when we talk to one another, it's really important. Now, our identity can be challenged by our circumstances, yeah, because we might believe God to intervene, to do something, and nothing has happened yet. Sometimes we wonder whether God is not listening to us or even rejecting us. But again, remember, this is not who God is. This is the enemy who is trying to discourage us not to believe him. One of the stories that I like from the Old Testament that talks about identity being challenged is, you know, the book of Daniel. Some of you know this story. So King Nebuchadnezzar, obviously quite a mighty king in those days, invaded Israel. And he again handpicked people who were of good descent, Jewish people, and trained them in his palace in Babylon. And some of you know the story. New names, yeah? New names, new clothings. They were trained, they were taught about the religion, the wisdom, everything they knew in Babylon, yeah? And they had to adopt that new culture. I wonder, why did he do that, do you think? He wanted to use them for his purposes, not for God's purposes. But we know that Daniel and there were three of his friends, they withstood. Although they did have new names, but they didn't get involved in the other things. Obviously, you know about the food. But I wondered what happened to the other Jewish people. I believe that their God-given identity was probably taken away from them because of that training that they did. So the enemy knows how important identity is for us today. And it is important for us to know that we are children of the Most High God, that we are sons of God, isn't it? That he has accepted us, that he has loved us, yeah, that we belong to him. One of the scriptures says that he bought a price for us. It didn't come cheap to God to adopt us, isn't it? He sacrificed his son Jesus, who died at the cross for us. That's not cheap, is it? But he did that because he loves us so much, and he wants us to be part of his family, part of who he is. Now, what I would like to talk about next is when we know who we are in Jesus, this will also affect what we do with our lives. Yeah? One of the things, I know I've mentioned that before, I think, is that God is not committed to my plans for my life. Yeah? But he's committed to his plans for my life. And God is not interested in anything that I come up with and think it's a good idea, and then I do it in my own strength. He's not bothered about these things. Yeah? God is really interested in what he asks us to do, that we do those things. Some of you who have done First Steps, you know that one of the things we talk about is as sons, we are called to go after our father's business. And obviously one of the stories that we look at is the prodigal son. And I know we focus a lot on the son who went away with half of the inheritance and squandered it all. And then eventually thought, okay, I go back again because I have nothing to live on really. But I also wanted to think about the other son who was there with the father. Because I think sometimes that's how we might feel. So we know God. We have received God, Jesus, into our lives. However, we just work and work and work and work. I'm not talking about just working your jobs that are not part of the church. It could also be, you know, church things that we do. You know, just endless, 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 endless. And one of the things this other son missed, and some of us can miss, is that we don't need to work to be seen any different in God's eyes. Because God already loves us, He's already accepted us, He's already chosen us the way we are, isn't it? We do not need to keep working and working and working. Some of us do struggle with being a son of God. And I listened to a podcast, well, actually audiobook, or part of an audiobook, the other day, and it really spoke to me. So the book is just generally about living in Jesus, really. But this particular part was about a story in the Old Testament about Jacob and Esau. Some of you know the story. They are twins, but Esau was the older one. And in the Jewish culture, the firstborn has really a special right, isn't it? He's the one who inherits everything. He's the one who is in charge of the household, of the family. So that's really quite an important thing. And some of you know what happened to that birthright of Esau, isn't it? He came home hungry, and his brother was just making some food. And then he decided to trade that birthright just with that food because he was so hungry. He didn't value what God had given him through his position. And I think sometimes that's the same with us. Yes, we are sons of God. We are children of God. But sometimes we don't value being children of God. And we just ignore it and just go after our own stuff. Go after our own tummy. It might not be food for us, isn't it? It might be a luxurious job. It might be a relationship that might not be of God. It might be just living in disobedience of God, knowingly, because we don't value being children of God, because we don't value what it means, actually. And God really challenged me with that. He wants us to realize what it cost him, but also how much it hurts us if we don't live as children of God. I wanted us to look at another scripture in Ephesians 2:10. Steve, thank you. It says that we are God's masterpiece and that he has created us in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. I know we have some artists in this church. And, you know, when you think about it, I imagine it, that it all starts with a small thing and then you develop it, isn't it? But it says very clearly that we are such a masterpiece, that we are such an amazing work, that God put all the effort, all the thoughts in, isn't it? It does say that he thought about us long before we were born. And, you know, I was thinking about sometimes when we think about our lives, we think about, you know, just here, what we're doing, where we are. But actually, we fit as like a little puzzle piece. We fit perfectly in God's wider picture, in God's bigger picture that we can't often see, isn't it? But so we are God's masterpiece, and he has planned things for us to do. Not just coasting, as some people would say today, or drifting, as some of us might be doing. He asked us to do things, and good things, he said. And when he asked us to do things, he's also equipping us to do these things. So we don't need to worry about that. One of the things about the Father's business is really about his kingdom. It's about obeying him. It's about giving him glory. And this is what God wants us to do. When Jesus prayed, you know, when he taught us how to pray, he said, you know, your kingdom come, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't know why God felt that we as human beings should be part of that plan, but he decided to do that. He wanted us to be part of it. And that's why it's really important. A scripture says in John 15 that I am a branch of the true vine, isn't it? So we are connected with Jesus. And through our connection with Jesus, we are a channel of his life. Now, again, this is something that we cannot underestimate, what that means, that God's life flows through us into our surroundings. I don't know, Pastor Victor talked about Ezekiel 37 last week, briefly, how the prophet was called by God into a valley full of dry bones. And God very clearly spoke to Ezekiel, the prophet, this is what you need to speak over these dry bones. I believe that God gives us words to speak into our own lives, but also into lives of others. Ezekiel, the Bible doesn't say he had second thoughts, felt embarrassed or anything like that. He spoke these words, and as some of you know the story, the dry bones became alive. So the bones put together a body and then became an army. Now, this is something that we might think, wow, that's too much. But remember, God gives us words to speak in his power and authority. And if we are silent, we do not go about God's business, isn't it? And so God is really challenging us to release words that he has put into our hearts. It could be our own, as I said before, it could be our own life, or it could be the life of others. Remember what I said before. Jesus encouraged his disciples to believe and have faith. This is because it doesn't just come like this. We need to have faith in the word of God. And we need to believe that what he says, he will do, even though it doesn't look like it. One of the things I also want to talk about is how we feel. Our emotions are very strong. My emotions are very strong. And I know that one of the things that God has really spoken to me about during the Freedom Course is, what do I listen to? What do I give charge in my life? Some of you know that when we talk about emotions, this is our soul, isn't it? So it goes on the emotions, our mind, so our thinking, our will, but also our memories. And when we become a child of God, we ask the Spirit in us to be in charge, isn't it? But often there is a bit of a battle. And I think we've all been in that situation, isn't it? When we know this is what God says, but actually my emotions, my memory is so strong, I follow what they say, what they tell me to do. And this is how often we respond to situation. You know, we just blurt out. Our emotions just go up, come out. Our memories that we remember, we just come out. But God says, no, now that you're a child of God, now that you have given me your life, the Spirit should be in charge. And that means the Word of God should be in charge. And we follow the Word of God, no matter how it feels like, no matter whether we feel it's right or not. Another scripture says that we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, obviously I've never had a job like that, like a diplomatic job or so. But you know, as an ambassador, you get a mandate, don't you? Well, I assume they get a mandate. That means their home country tells them what to do in their country that they are living and how to go about all of this. And this is the same with God. He gives us a mandate. He tells us what he would want us to do. So it's not about what I think is the right thing in this situation to do, but it's about, okay, Jesus, what would you like me to do in this situation? What is it? Why have you placed me in that place? What is it that you want me to do? At work, that is always a very big challenge, because those of us who work in busy environments, we know that sometimes work just catches us and then it's 5 o'clock or whenever people finish and then it's like, whoo, where has the day gone? And it's the same for me. And during the daytime, during the work, then I'm like, Lord, how am I not going to miss what you're saying? Because I'm so engrossed with my work and so busy with all the different things. And I think this is really something that God want us to pray into and just to ask him to help. You know, help me, Lord. I've got on my desk, I've got a desk, not everybody has a desk, isn't it? I've got a desk and I've got a little scripture there. Just that reminds me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But sometimes, you know, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just prompt me not to disconnect, but actually to know what you want me to do. Remember, God is interested in our whole lives, including our works. And when he calls us to be sons, he puts us into places. Not all of these places are in church-like environments. Do you know what I mean? But he places us for a purpose. Remember, going about the Father's business is asking God, okay, you've put me into that workplace. What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me? How can I give glory to you in my workplace in this moment? How can I be a child of God in that workplace? And it will look very differently for different people. But the thing is, it's about us asking God. Very quickly, especially at work, we can very quickly get consumed by the work ethics, by the pressures at work, and also by how work thinks about things, isn't it? You know, that you climb up the ladder very quickly and you're happy with lots of money and things like that. And we can be caught up with that very quickly. But remember, as I said at the very beginning, these things are very changeable things. And we don't want them to be our identity. We want to keep our identity in Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:9, I really like this scripture, and I think quite a few of you know this scripture. It says that we are a chosen people. I've mentioned chosen before. We are royal. We are royal because Jesus is the King of Kings. Now, he is the King of Kings. That is really, you know, if you think about that, so not King Charles, but he's the King of all the kings. Nobody can match him really, isn't it? And that's why we are royal as well. But we are also priests. And priests are the one who intercede, who worship. Yeah, in the Old Testament, if you think about that. And one of the things I really like is the praying at work. God bless me really, because during lockdown, we were able to start a prayer group at work. And although I have had my struggles, whether to continue or not, God has blessed our time. And this is the only time we come together to pray within my workplace really. But I do know, although, you know, we struggle to see much changes in people around us, but I do know that these intercessions, these prayers are being captured by God. In the Revelation it says, you know, there are golden balls full of the prayers of his people. So if you are in a working place, even if you are on your own knowing Jesus, pray. Just pray for your workplace. Pray for people around you. Because God hears those prayers. And we said, isn't it, the prayer of a righteous person or a person who loves Jesus are powerful. So even if we don't see it straight away in the natural, I know that God is moving. And this is something that he has called us to do. He has also called us to be holy, which we can only do if we surrender our lives to Jesus, if we give ourselves fully to Jesus, and we are his special possession. Remember that he paid for us. He paid for us to be the sons of God. And again, he is the one who is calling us. One of the scriptures I like in the New Old Testament where it says that I have called you by name. I have called you by name. Now, I don't know what your name means, but God loves you so much. He knows your name and he's calling you by your name. And you belong, we belong to him. That's why he's calling us, because we belong to him. And he has taken us out of where we were before away from God, not knowing God, struggling without God, to a place with Him now, being loved, being accepted in Him. Yes, still struggling, but not on our own. Not on our own. With the hope that we have in Jesus, as we've sung before, yeah? The peace that He can give us, that is not depending on our circumstances, and the joy. And the joy. I want us to, I don't know what the time is really, but there's just a few things that I wanted to mention before we pray together. Sometimes we don't know what effect we have on people around us. But, you know, in Acts, I love the story of Paul. Paul was one of the big missionaries, and he was on a boat that obviously went shipwrecked afterwards. However, because of Paul being on that ship, God saved everyone's life. Everyone's life, 200 and something people, just because Paul was on that ship. And so that's what he does through his children. So I don't know where you live, I don't know where you work, but that will make a difference to your area. Do not underestimate what God has put in you. And remember, it's not depending on our performance in the worldly eyes. You know, do I have a great job? Is my business thriving? Is my family growing? These are all good things and important things, I know. But how God can use us and where God placed us has nothing to do with that. It has to do with us being His children and us being needed by Him. I know that Pastor Victor talked about power and authority last week. And when we did the DNA course, one of the things that really spoke to me is about the airspace. We all know what an airspace is, yeah? It's very well controlled normally. And the lady who was talking about that talked about the airspace we have over our own lives. And she was encouraging us to think about how much are we controlling what is coming in from the outside into our lives. How much are we allowing in into our lives and into our thinking that would then affect our behaviors and everything. And that really spoke to me because I think God has given us the authority to control that airspace. But we need to stand up and we need to do it. And we need to speak. We need to speak the words of God. And we need to put that protection up over ourselves, over our homes. Yeah. Those of us who have children, over our children. So that only good things, godly things can penetrate and everything else stays out. And I know some might think, oh, that's very extreme, but actually that's the reality, isn't it? Because as I said before, the enemy knows exactly how to get us. The enemies start always very subtle. But if we don't deal with these things, it grows and grows and makes us fall. And we cannot do that. We cannot afford to do that. God needs us. That's why we are still alive. Because God needs us. He has a job for us to do. And I don't know exactly what it looks like for each and every one of us. But He's got a job to do. And He wants to use us. Now remember, the only thing that we need to do is give our lives to Jesus. Surrender everything to Jesus. And although it's the only thing, it's probably the hardest thing to do as well. Because it means to give up what we are holding on to and releasing it into Jesus. One of the scriptures that lots of people are very much familiar with, that I quite like it. I think it's the Amplified Version or the Passion Version, where it says, I disown my life. I embrace the cross of Jesus as my own, and I surrender to His ways. I disown my life. When we give our lives to Jesus, that's what happens. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I've given it to Jesus. And then I take up that cross. I take up the ways, the plans that Jesus has for me. And I do that. Let's all stand, please. Now, I know that's a bit of a different message this morning, and I know Holy Spirit is at work in all of us. I just wanted us to maybe think about a few things that we might want to bring before God this morning. Maybe as a result of the message, but maybe something that God's been talking to us long ago, isn't it? Sometimes he speaks to us and we just keep on ignoring him until he caught us in the corner. But one of the things I wanted us to do this morning, for those of us who haven't made the decision to give your life to Jesus. You're here, you might know a lot about Jesus. You might have heard about Jesus. You might be confused about Jesus. I want you to know that he knows you and that he loves you and that he has good plans for you. And I know it does take courage to disown our lives because we don't know what will happen. But we sang, God is a good God, and that does not change, no matter what's going on in our lives. It doesn't change. And lots of us will have stories to say how good he's been in our lives and how he's never let us down. So if this is you, I would really invite you to give your life to Jesus this morning, this afternoon, whatever the time is, before you leave. Because the thing is, we did read, isn't it, that God calls us out of the darkness into the light. This is only God who can do that. We cannot do that ourselves. But he's loved us so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for us so that we can have that life with him, not separate from him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.